You're listening to Radio Hangar Aviation Talk, powered by AI, fueled by passion. Hey there, welcome back to Traffic Pattern, I'm Pattern, and today we're tackling something that every single student pilot struggles with at some point. METARs, those cryptic little strings of text that look like someone fell asleep on a keyboard. But here's the thing, I don't want to just teach you how to decode a METAR. You can find a dozen websites that'll do that for you. What I want to do today is teach you how to read a METAR like a pilot. Like someone who's about to go fly an airplane and needs to make real decisions based on what that report is telling you. Because there's a huge difference between knowing that BKN025 means broken clouds at 2,500 feet and actually understanding what that means for your flight. So let's walk through this together. Shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that? Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's set the stage. You're a student pilot. You've got your private pilot check ride coming up in 2 weeks. Your instructor told you to start checking weather before every flight, even the ones you don't take. Smart advice, by the way. You should be doing that right now if you aren't already. So you pull up the Automatic Terminal Information Service, or ATS, for your home field. And you also grab the METAR, and you see something like this. Kosh, 211-553 Zulu, wind 320 at 12, gusting 22. Visibility 10 statute miles, few at 045. Broken at 120, temperature 18, dew point 12, altimeter 3012. Now, if you've done any ground school at all, you can probably pick that apart piece by piece. The station identifier is Kosh, that's Oshkosh, Wisconsin. The observation time, wind direction and speed, visibility, cloud layers, temperature and dew point, altimeter setting. But here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. Decoding it is step one. Step two is the part that actually keeps you alive, and that's asking yourself, what does this mean for me in my airplane on this flight today? So, let's do exactly that. Let's read this METAR like a pilot, first thing I look at. Wind 320 at 12, gusting 22. That's wind out of the northwest at 12 knots, gusting to 22. Now, a lot of students see 12 knots and think, that's fine, but don't skip over that gust factor. You've got a 10-knot spread between the sustained wind and the gusts. That means the wind is not steady, it's bumpy down low, and if you're flying a Cessna 172 or a Piper Cherokee, a 22-knot gust on short final is going to get your attention. Here's the pilot question, what's the runway in use? If the active runway is 3.6, you've got almost a direct headwind, gusty but manageable for most pilots with some experience, but what if the active is 2.7? Now you've got a significant crosswind component. And with gusts to 22, that crosswind could be pushing the limits of what your airplane or your skill level can handle. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Checkride say you need to demonstrate crosswind landings. The examiner is looking for you to recognize when conditions are beyond your personal limits. Not the airplane's limits, your limits. That's a big distinction. So wind is never just a number. It's a number in context. What runway am I using? What's my crosswind component? What are the gusts doing? And am I comfortable with all of that? Next, visibility, 10 statute miles. Beautiful, no issues there. But let me plant a seed for you. 10 miles visibility in a METAR doesn't mean 10 miles visibility everywhere between here and your destination. The METAR is a snapshot of conditions at one specific point on the airport at one specific moment. That's it. If you're planning across country, you need METARs along your route. You need the Terminal Aerodrome Forecast, or TAF. You need the big picture, not just one data point. All right, cloud layers, this is where it gets interesting. Few at 045, broken at 120, few clouds at 4,500 feet, broken layer at 12,000. Now, if you're a VFR pilot, which most students are, the broken layer at 12,000 is basically a non-issue. You're not going up there anyway, but that few at 4,500, let's think about that. Few means 1 to 2 UCTAs of sky coverage, so it's mostly clear down low with just a few clouds scattered around at 4,500 for VFR flight. That's perfectly fine. But here's the pilot thinking. Is that layer building? Is it forecast to increase? If the TAF says that few is going to become broken by the time you're coming back from your cross country, now you've got a different situation. A METAR tells you what's happening right now. The TAF tells you what's expected. You need both. And here's a practical tip. When you see cloud layers, immediately think about your planned altitude. If you're planning to cruise at 4,500, those few clouds are now at your altitude. You'd either need to adjust your cruising altitude or be prepared to navigate around them. Basic VFR cloud clearance requirements. Say you need 500 feet below, 1,000 feet above, and 2,000 feet horizontal from clouds in controlled airspace. So 4,500 puts you right in conflict with that layer. See how this works? You're not just reading numbers anymore, you're making decisions, temperature and dew point, 18 and 12. That's a 6 degrees Celsius spread. Now, a lot of students gloss right over this. Big mistake, the temperature dew point spread tells you how close the air is to being saturated. The closer those two numbers get, the more likely you are to see fog, mist, or low clouds forming. A general rule of thumb, and it is just a rule of thumb, not gospel. If the temperature and dew point are converging and the spread is less than about 3 degrees, start paying close attention. Fog can form fast, especially in the evening when temperatures drop. If you're planning a late afternoon flight and the spread is already only 6 degrees at midday, ask yourself, where's that spread going to be in 3 hours? There's another thing hiding in those temperature numbers. Density, altitude, 18 degrees Celsius is about 64 Fahrenheit. That's not terribly hot. But combine that with a field elevation and the current altimeter setting, and you can calculate your density altitude. On a hot summer day, if you see temperatures in the mid-30s, at a field that's a couple thousand feet above sea level, density altitude can steal your performance in a hurry. Your takeoff roll gets longer, your climb rate drops, your engine produces less power. This has caught a lot of pilots off guard, and it doesn't care how many hours you have in your logbook. Altimeter setting, 3012, that's 30.12 inches of mercury. You set this in your altimeter so your altitude readout is accurate. Pretty straightforward. But here's the pilot application. Is that number high or low compared to standard? Standard pressure is 29.92, so 30.12 is higher than standard. That means it's a relatively high pressure day. Generally good weather, but watch the trend. If you check the METAR an hour later and it's dropped to 29.98, pressure is falling. Falling pressure often means deteriorating weather is on the way. Again, one METAR is a snapshot. The trend is the story. Now let me give you a scenario that ties all of this together because this is where it really matters. You're planning a solo cross-country. It's about a 90 nautical mile trip. You check the METAR at your departure airport. Winds are calm, visibility 10 miles, clear skies, temperature 22, dew point 20. Altimeter 29.88. Looks great, right? Most students would look at that and say, perfect VFR day. Let's go. But wait, temperature 22, dew point 20. That's a 2-degree spread, and the altimeter is 29.88, which is below standard. Pressure is on the low side. Now you check the TAF. It's calling for mist and visibility dropping to 3 statute miles by late afternoon, with a broken ceiling at 1,000 feet. Suddenly, that beautiful METAR doesn't look so comfortable. The current conditions are fine, but the air is nearly saturated, pressure is low, and the forecast says things are going downhill. If your cross-country takes 2.5 hours round trip, are you going to make it back before conditions deteriorate? What's your alternate plan? This is exactly the kind of decision-making the FAA expects from a private pilot. The Airman Certification Standards don't just want you to decode weather reports, they want you to use them to make go, no-go decisions. The examiner on your checkride will absolutely ask you to look at real weather data and tell them whether you'd fly or not, and why. Here's my framework for reading a METAR, and this is just how I teach it. It's not the only way, but it works. First, scan for the showstoppers. Is the visibility below VFR minimums? Are the ceilings too low? Are the winds beyond my personal limits? If any of those are true, the conversation is over. We're not going. Second, check the trends. Is the weather getting better or getting worse? Pull the TAF. Look at multiple METAR observations over the past few hours. Are the clouds building? Is the visibility dropping? Is the wind picking up? Third, think about your specific flight. What airplane are you flying? What's your experience level? What's the terrain along your route? Are you flying over flat farmland or mountainous terrain where weather can hide in valleys? What time will you be coming back? Will it be dark? And fourth, have an out. If you decide to go, what's your plan if things change? Where's your nearest alternate airport? At what point do you turn around? Decide that on the ground, not in the air when you're stressed and behind the airplane. Let me give you one more tip that saved me from a bad day more than once. When you're reading a METAR and everything looks marginal, not clearly bad but not clearly good, ask yourself this: if I were already up there and saw these conditions developing, would I want to continue or would I want to be on the ground? If the answer is you'd rather be on the ground, then stay on the ground. The airplane will be there tomorrow. And here's one last thing that I think separates good students from great ones. Read METARs every single day, even when you're not flying. Pull up your home airport. Pull up airports along routes you fly often. Watch how the weather changes through the day. Watch how the temperature dew point spread closes in the evening. Watch how the winds shift when a front passes through. The more you do this, the more intuitive it becomes. You'll start to see patterns. You'll start to develop a feel for what the weather is doing, not just what one observation says. That's how you read a METAR like a pilot, not just decoding letters and numbers, but turning that information into decisions that keep you and your passengers safe. All right, that's the show for today. Today's content draws on guidance from the FAA's Aviation Weather Services Advisory Circular, the Airman Certification Standards and Resources from the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, AOPA, and their weather education materials. As always, Radio Hangar is AI-generated content built by pilots who care about making the next generation of aviators better and safer. You can find more at radiohangar.com. Go check the METAR at your home field right now. Seriously, even if you're not flying today, start building that habit, and the next time you look at one, don't just decode it. Ask yourself, would I fly in this? Fly safe, everyone. See you next time, Radio Hangar. Keep the blue side up.